Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park, fresh off of our trip to the Combine, where we took a closer look at this upcoming draft class, talked a little free agency and NFL news with lots of experts. But we're back now from Indy. I have producer Nate Vaughn here, and we're here to kind of recap what we learned, what we saw from our week in Indianapolis. Coming up on the show today, reaction from the Combine workouts, including our investigation of who truly is the best player in this draft. We'll take you on a crash course on franchise and transition tags, because that has been in the NFL news cycle of late. We'll tie it all up at the end of the show with some of your mail. But first, could Steph Curry, the Golden State Warrior sharpshooter, fill a need for the Vikings?
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. With 6/10 of a second remaining, the brilliant shooting of Stephen Curry continues, and he ties the NBA record with his 12th three-pointer of the game.
What can he do?
We talk all the time about basketball players coming into the league and being like Antonio Gates was a really good basketball player in college.
Yeah, they're just usually bigger guys that
Julius,
we're talking about.
Julius Peppers for North Carolina.
Right.
I think Steph Curry is so good that you and I are thinking he could probably help the Vikings in some way.
And he'd probably love to. I mean, right. He did his NBA thing. Move on to the next thing, right?
One night while we were at the Combine was the night the Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder had a regular season game for the ages, as it goes for regular season games. And Steph Curry was the star of the show. Seriously, though, a great performance by Steph Curry. The announcer that you heard right there was ESPN's Mike Breen, who does Knicks games regularly, but does games for ESPN, big time games for ESPN, and does the NBA Finals, and he really rose to the moment there with Steph Curry. And I think announcers enhance your viewing experience when you're watching games on TV. Unfortunately, Nate, you and I weren't able to hear Mike Breen call the game because we were in a crowded bar with live music in Indianapolis at the time.
Great live music, by the way.
Which the live music was good, and we enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun because we work hard all day, and so we need to go out and relax and take our mind off of Lucas Oil Stadium when you're down in Indianapolis for a week. So we enjoyed that, but I did hear Mike Breen's call of all of Steph Curry's threes the following day, and just I'm amazed by him. I think he's very good. We're spoiled here in Minnesota because we have PA, Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, who does a great job calling games. And I think it's easy to take it for granted, but when you have a good one, it's something that I certainly appreciate. So anyway, enough of Steph Curry, the NBA, and announcers. Let's talk more about some of these players we saw at the Combine. I think, Nate, when you think to the on-field workouts, unfortunately, a negative observation is maybe the most prevalent because the wide receivers were so slow.
They were slow. I mean, we can't really talk because they're way faster than us.
We're faster than I am, yeah, right. But only two broke 4.4.
That is interesting.
Your guy.
Yeah, Will Fuller.
Will Fuller, he broke 4.4. You like him. 4.32, and then TCU's not Josh Doctson, TCU's Colby Listenby at 4.39. The average 40 time was 4.56. That is worse than the previous 4 years. So not a lot of people impressed with this year's group of receivers. And Mike Mayock said something interesting about this group of wide receivers in his Combine press conference.
This is not the same receiver class we saw the last couple years. You saw that today. Nowhere near as explosive. Treadwell didn't run, but Treadwell's not going to run fast anyway. He didn't jump well today. He jumped below average, and I expected that. So Treadwell is, to me, a kind of bottom half of the first round person. Corey Coleman didn't run. I think Coleman and Fuller are two that people are going to talk about at a certain point. Whether or not it's first round is hard to say, but, 4.31 or 4.32, whatever he ran, and he caught the ball better than I expected him to catch the ball. I still think he's a two. That's where I have him. Fuller. I still think Fuller is a two. I think Coleman, some people have him late one. I have trouble seeing more than one or two wideouts in the first round.
Now, if you think about it, if Laquon Treadwell is there in the quote-unquote 20 range, which Mayock did allude to during his press conference, kind of cool to think about the Vikings getting the best wide receiver in this class at 23.
That would be cool.
Get the top player any position at 23 would be amazing, but especially wide receiver, right?
Yeah, especially when you think about recent drafts. Now, you already said this crop of wide receivers is not the same as the past few years.
Right.
Early on, we probably didn't even think the number one wide receiver would be a possibility at 23.
Right. And again, the draft is at the end of April, so a lot can change between now and then. And we might be talking about there's going to be four receivers who go before 23 when all is said and done, because we're going to have all these pro days. And, you know, as we get closer to the draft, more and more information comes out. So who knows what's going to happen. But right now, Mr. Mayock is suggesting not more than one or two receivers go in the first round, which would also tell you that there's a shot the Vikings could get one of the best receivers in this class at 23. It could also tell you the Vikings can get one of the better five or six receivers in this class in the second round if they didn't take one right away. On the flip side, the defensive linemen were fast.
Fast and strong and good at everything else, too, yes. It sounds like.
Yeah, top to bottom, deep class, talent at the top, depth throughout. 11 defensive linemen clocked sub-5-second 40-yard dash times, and only two were over 5.2. So these defensive linemen were flying down the field at Lucas Oil Stadium. Obviously, Nate and I know that 40-yard dash times don't really matter all that much when you're evaluating a defensive lineman, because if a defensive lineman is running 40 yards in a straight line for you, it's not a good sign. He's probably chasing Matt Forte down the field for a touchdown. So you don't want that happening, but it does speak to their athleticism. It does speak to their work ethic, because these guys train for this right now. And so if they're doing well at it, it tells you that they can practice for something, apply what they've learned and do well at it. But already a hyped group of players gains even more steam with those impressive 40-yard dash times. I think this opens up an interesting question, and it's one that Mike Mayock talked about at his Combine press conference.
Well, I don't know the way it's going to work out, though, because it's intriguing. There's so many good defensive linemen. The one way you could look at it is there'll be a bunch of them taken in the first round. The other way, which could happen, is that teams are going to look around and say, man, I can get a second-round defensive tackle in the fourth round, so I'm going to wait. Or I can get a first-round defensive tackle in the third round, so I'm going to go attack another need where the draft isn't as good. So the two deepest positions for me are defensive tackles and corners. It's a really good corner draft also, I think. We're doing our homework. I think we're going to start hearing more names than just the three or four we've been talking about for the last couple months with the corners.
Moving on to the offensive linemen, an area that a lot of Vikings fans are paying attention to in free agency and the draft. Cody Whitehair, Kansas State offensive lineman. Mike Mayock expressed disappointment in Mr. Whitehair because he only lifted the 225-pound bench press 16 times. I mean, what a wimp.
Yeah, what's he thinking?
Oh, 225 only 16 times? I mean, come on, man. I mean, get real.
He's undraftable, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, he's not strong at all. He could only do it 16 times. But it was the second worst among all offensive linemen, and so he's going to get criticized for that. And then what you're going to see is at the Kansas State Pro Day, Nate, everyone's going to pay attention to Cody Whitehair's bench press, and I guarantee you he'll put it up more than 16 times at the Pro Day.
Interesting. You heard it here, folks.
I mean, it's just a thing that's going to happen. It's how these Pro Days go, and you can be sure that Cody is going to focus on that for his Pro Day, I would think. But look, at the end of the day, Cody Whitehair was a first-team All-Big 12 selection in 2015 as a left tackle. I love his versatility because he's played every position except for center for Kansas State. And again, as we said with the number one wide receiver, it would be cool to get the number one interior offensive line with the 23rd pick. The last one we're going to go over in terms of on-field workouts is a guy you've probably never heard of. Not you, Nate. I'm sure you've heard of him because you were at the Combine all week. But a lot of casual Vikings fans or even hardcore Vikings fans might not know this name. You're going to know the last name because it's the same last name as a Minnesota Twins legend, Harmon Killebrew. This guy is Southern Utah strong safety Miles Killebrew. He impressed, listen to this, first in the bench press among all safeties with 22 reps of 225 pounds. Second among all safeties in vertical at 38 inches. Third in the broad jump at 10.7. Third in the three-cone drill, 6.93. fourth in the 20-yard shuttle, and second in the 60-yard shuttle. Here is the NFL.com scouting report summary on Southern Utah strong safety Miles Killebrew. Violent player who looks to punish and intimidate with the force of his strikes, but who won't compromise his form as a tackler just for the highlight reel hit. Killebrew, NFL.com says, is average in coverage but has the size and physicality that makes him stand out in the box. With the success of Arizona's Dion Buchanan as a hybrid linebacker, it is reasonable to assume that a team will look to Killebrew to fill that role for its defense. I don't know if the Vikings are looking for a player like that, a strong safety who plays primarily in the box, if they're looking for more of an all-around safety like Harrison Smith to pair with Harrison Smith, or if they're looking for a traditional free safety. But for any team who's looking for an in-the-box safety, it sounds like Miles Killebrew was impressive at the combine, and he's a name to watch as we get closer to the draft.
One interesting thing is you talked about his scouting report. He's a violent player. That's the first words that they say.
Yeah.
But listening to his press conference, he's like a very pleasant, respectful,
oh, really?
Quiet human being. Yeah.
Did you catch it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was interesting because, like, when he started talking, it made me do a double take. Like, wait, isn't this the guy that everybody's saying is a BA safety and just crushing people? And he just sounds like the nicest guy ever.
Right. Well, it means he's got an on-off switch. I guess that's good, right?
Or maybe he's just fooling all of us.
Well, it could be, but it certainly would be good for people like you and I if the Vikings were to take him, because we're going to run into him in the cafeteria, in the hallway, in the parking lot, and I don't want him to be violent to me in those areas.
I would appreciate that.
Violent to other football players on the field. All right, more stuff from the combine, but less about the participants at the combine and more about the Vikings, because when we're there, as you probably have seen and heard from the Vikings.com interviews that we posted all week from Indianapolis, we like to talk to experts about our team more than we like to talk to them about the college players. And the number one theme that Nate and I got while in Indianapolis from these national media types is that they love Mike Zimmer's defense.
You see Mike Zimmer come in, takes a young defense, makes a few adjustments. First year, 30 points down to 21. Second year, under 21 points. Formula for success. What you can anticipate now, a couple moves in free agency in the draft. It's a good core of good young players on both sides of the ball. Draft well, things are going to be successful because now the formula is there. Quarterback, defense, offensive production, running back, that gets you into the playoffs.
I feel like a lot of people slept on your defense, and I'm obviously talking about the Vikings, and as you guys got on a roll and people really had an opportunity to examine the defense, I thought the play of Xavier Rhodes really stood out in terms of just doing his contribution to shut down some of the top wide receivers that he was facing. And then also Terrence Newman had a couple of big games in there reminding people that still over 30, you can still do it. And clearly Harrison Smith coming into his own. Sometimes I remember when I interviewed and I'm like, you're still in your mid-20s. I feel like he's older than that. But it just goes to show you because of the way that he's playing and his dominance, you almost feel like he's ahead of his years.
I like just, you know, physical and tough. We talk about defensive linemen, like the Vikings will bring it. You know, and it's not just, you know, it's not just the like Linval Josephs of the world. It's kind of everyone. You know, it's third rounders who we've never heard of who all of a sudden come in and get six sacks or whatever it is. And you're like, who is that guy? You know, those sorts of things. I mean, it's just a tough, aggressive, physical defense that I like.
Previously, Nate, we've had Bucky Brooks on the Wobcast. We've taken sound from his podcast with Daniel Jeremiah. And my favorite descriptor that anyone has used for Mike Zimmer's defense was used by Bucky Brooks, and he deemed the Vikings defense bullies. That's my favorite descriptor, because in the NFC North, where we've been dealing with Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, we've been dealing with Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall, Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey, we've been dealing with Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, finesse, powerful, high-flying, fancy offenses. I like being the bully team in that division, the one who comes at it from a different angle, and the team that's trying to come up with the elixir that will neutralize the high-flying offenses. That's my favorite descriptor of our defense.
And a lot of players that the media we talked about were the younger players that we have on the team, like Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith to an extent. He's getting a little bit older, but a young core of defenders has a lot of people really excited about the Vikings.
I'd throw Danielle Hunter into that mix. Everson Griffin in his prime. Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes. So, yeah, no doubt about it. Two of those younger players, Nate, that you mentioned, and speaking of on-off switch, I think Anthony Barr is one of those. He seems to, he's as cool as can be around the facility. I mean, he is smooth and cool, but is an animal on the field. And then Eric Kendricks would be the other one. Two of those players that you mentioned played with one of the better players in this year's draft, fellow linebacker Miles Jack. And while we were at the combine, we captured sound from Miles Jack talking about Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks.
It's just a culture, I kind of followed in those guys' steps. Anthony, with me getting there, Anthony was kind of the beginning. And then I really just watched those two guys. Like, I was in awe of them when I first stepped on campus. I wanted to be just like them. And when Anthony left, it was Eric. And I really just followed Eric, listened to everything he said, watched how serious he took the game. And it's paid off, And I think hopefully the next level of guys, the next wave of guys out of UCLA will follow that same suit. Well, it's two different styles. So Anthony was just a gamer, he would just come out and just, no matter if we were losing or winning, or he just brought that same motor every single play. And then with Eric, I really learned the preparation aspect. Like, I remember in meetings, Coach Brick would ask, like, in 2x2 formation, what are the three plays they were running? Eric would know it on the spot. So, like, I really picked that up from his game of just him studying and him really paying attention to film instead of just watching guys run the ball, watching guys score touchdowns and stuff like that. He's looking at linemen. He's looking at what they're running in this in third and one, situations and stuff like that. So I learned a lot from him.
What would it be like to play with those guys again?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. That would be really cool. That would be really cool.
Suffice it to say, I think Miles Jack would be okay playing for the Vikings.
I think the Vikings would be probably okay with him playing here, especially at 23.
Right. Something weird would have to happen for him to be available at 23, I think, but you never know. Let's go from linebackers to safeties. Aside from just the defense, Nate, being a general talker, I think if you drill down even deeper, the number one subplot of the defense is, what do we do at safety with Harrison Smith, right? Obviously, you're fine with Harrison Smith. He's one of the best ones in the league, but it's been Anderson Dejo and Robert Blanton going back and forth, starting in the other safety spot. So a lot of people are speculating on how the Vikings could fulfill that role next to Harrison Smith. And that includes Mike Zimmer, who talked about it at the Combine during his press conference.
Well, I think this, that if Harrison Smith was paired with a guy that had some other qualities, we could allow Harrison to be more of an impactful player. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I think Harrison can be more impactful if he had the right kind of guy next to him.
To me, and Coach Zimmer touched on it a little bit, this talker has had an evolution. It's gone from, hey, we have Harrison Smith who can do everything, so that means you can get a strong safety to pair with him because Harrison can be the free safety, or you can go get a free safety because Harrison Smith can be the strong safety. But I think it's evolved from that to, you know what, even if you can't get one who can do it to the same level as Harrison, I think you want to get one who can do both things fairly equally, because that will put Harrison in a better spot. Because if you get just a free safety, a guy who just plays in the middle of the field, that means Harrison's going to be your in-the-box guy. And whenever you try and disguise something by putting Harrison in the middle of the field and then that free safety in the box, teams are going to read right through that and know it's a disguise. But if you have two guys who are interchangeable and can both do those things, now I think you've made it tougher on the defense. We caught up with your guy, former University of Iowa standout and former NFL player Matt Bowen, who now writes for ESPN.com. We caught up with him at the Combine, and he talked about this situation the Vikings have at safety, the fact that safety is a hard position to scout, and much more. Take a listen.
What I say is you need two free safeties. You need guys that are physical, that are tacklers and are tough, but also guys that have range and versatility. And that's what you really want in both those guys. But it's such a hard position to scout. We see so many teams year after year draft players that either don't develop within their system or struggle at the NFL level because they're asked to do both those things. You can't just say I'm a strong safety anymore. I play in the box. Well, 60% of the game now is played in nickel or dime. You have to be able to move. You have to be able to do different things.
And what would happen if the Vikings were to get a guy who had a similar skill set to Harrison Smith? Say it's not as elite a player as Harrison Smith, but the same type of player.
Well, it allows you to do different things coverage-wise. When you have two guys that are versatile, you can roll them both. You can roll one down in the box, roll one back to the middle third, roll one back to cover two alignment, blitz the other guy. You never know where either guy's coming from. Now you have the best hand of cards when you come to the line of scrimmage. Like I said, if you watch Minnesota on tape and watch the defense under Zimmer, you don't know what's coming. There's a lot of disguise, a lot of confusion they create. So if you have two of those players, it also allows you to play more with your base defense. Okay, like I said, nickel and dime 60% of the time. You play with your base defense, it'll go even more creative. Put with a big nickel, put with a big dime set out there. Put one of your safeties as a dime and put them in the box and blitz them. There's so many creative things you can do when you have that type of talent.
All right, Nate, so after a week in Indy talking to a bunch of people, I think it's a fair question. Who really is the best player in this draft? Feels like we can make a case for a lot of different guys.
And it depends who you ask, too.
Yeah, including if you ask those guys.
Right, there were a few guys at the Combine claiming they're the best player in the draft. And that's not a huge deal. I mean, you want to be the best player. You want to think you're the best player if you are up with the best players.
Yes.
You don't want to say, probably not the best player in the draft.
Definitely.
That's not me.
Right. I mean, it's predictable. And Coach Zimmer said this when he was meeting with reporters at the hotel with local beat writers, not on camera. They were asking him, what are some questions you ask these guys in the interview rooms at the Combine? And Zimmer was like, yeah, it's some of them are the predictable ones. You ask a guy, hey, who's the toughest guy on your team? And every guy says, well, I was, and so it's predictable, but that's what you want them to say. I mean, you want guys to exude and express confidence to you. You want confident players because the toughest part for a lot of these guys is, and Miles Killebrew, he's a great example. And I'll use another one that's currently in the NFL, Kyle Van Noy, who was drafted by the Detroit Lions. These are guys who were in college. They were, no doubt about it, the best player on their team. But you come to the NFL, and now you're playing with everyone who is the best player on their team, certainly in high school and most of them in college. So you don't want guys to lose confidence when they get to this level. So we have eight guys here who certainly are not at a loss for confidence that we're going to talk about briefly. Who's number one?
The number one we can determine later, but one of the players who claimed he's number one is Joey Bosa. And I think that was probably the most public acclamation of being number one.
Yep. Got up at the Combine press conference at the podium in the media center and took command of the room. A lot of people think he's the best pass rusher in this class, and I think a lot of people think he can fit in a 3-4 or a 4-3 as a defensive end. So I think he's got some ground to stand on in this argument.
Another Combine All-Star, Jalen Ramsey from Florida State, put on a show. A lot of people expected him to do so, too.
Yeah, DB. I call him a DB. He's not a safety. He's not a corner. He can probably play a little bit of both, depending on what you need, and that adds a lot of value to him. Maybe not the number one overall pick because now you're talking about what does this team need, but possibly the number one overall pick and certainly in the running for most talent.
We also have a couple linebackers with interesting circumstances, both coming off of injuries at different parts of their last year in school. Miles Jack, which we talked about earlier, and then Jalen Smith is becoming to be quite a story.
Yep.
And I'm sure we'll learn a lot more or not learn much more at all before the draft.
Yeah, Mike Mayock loves Jalen Smith. He did Notre Dame games for NBC for a while, so he got to know him, and now, of course, he studies the tape. And Mike Mayock had a little, 4-minute spiel on Jalen Smith that was really quite nice. He said a lot of nice things about him, but he was also real. He's like, this guy has a major knee injury that happened just a couple of months ago, and now there may or may not be nerve damage, and so this guy's stock is certainly in question. But they showed some highlights of him, and you can convince me that Jalen Smith's the best player in the whole draft by that highlight package that I watched. Miles Jack, I read a report from somebody that said if Miles Jack just had an early football life crisis and decided to just be a running back now, that he would be a top third-round pick. So, I mean, this guy obviously is a great athlete. If he would switch positions to running back and he'd be taken in one of the top three rounds, that means he's got a lot of talent, too. Who else you got?
Well, we got a couple quarterbacks, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff.
Yeah.
An interesting quarterback class this year.
I think it's the most important position in the sport, and so the top one or two, when there's not a consensus top guy, you take the top one or two, and certainly you can make an argument that one of them is the best player in the class. Mayock described Goff as more game-ready right now, but thought Wentz could be in a better situation because although he could play right now if he needed him to, he might get into a situation where he can sit behind a starter for 1, 2, or 3 years and then be good to go once he gets to the end of his first contract, and that's a good position to be in.
Another player that, believe it or not, is actually being mocked as the number one pick overall, but he's one of the last guys we talk about, is Laremy Tunsil, the tackle from Ole Miss.
Mike Mayock said he's as good as advertised when he watched him on the on-field workout in the drills. I saw him in the media center, and I was like, oh, my God, that must be Laremy Tunsil, and it was. And so if he's the first pick in the draft, it wouldn't surprise me. And if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, which I wouldn't imagine very many people listening to the Wobcast are Tennessee Titans fans, but a lot of people listening may know Tennessee Titans fans, and you can tell them it's not a bad thing that 1 year after you took the first or second best quarterback in the draft, you're taking the best left tackle in the draft. That's not a bad thing.
Another player that during workouts was asked about it and claimed he was the number one player in the draft, and not a lot of people had mentioned his name being the number one player, but it was Carl Joseph, the safety from West Virginia. Mayock actually has him as his number one safety, but not a lot of people talking about him.
Yeah, well, if you're the number one player at your position in the draft class, I guess by definition, you're in the argument of best player in the draft. So we'll put him in there. It's just a real boring football name, Carl Joseph, you know? So maybe he can bring some sizzle with the way he plays on the field. Where is he going to go in the first round? We have no idea. I think you can bet against him being the top overall pick, but you cannot necessarily rule him out that 3 or 4 years from now he won't be the best player in this draft class, because a lot of things can change in 3 or 4 years.
I always kind of find myself saying this. It's a bit of a misnomer to really call this a combine, because what happens in here is a small part of what's actually going on in hotel suites, in bars, in restaurants. You've got every agent in the league. You've got every coach in the league. You've got every salary cap guy in the league. You've got every GM in the league. You've got, you know, owners. This is where the foundation for the 2016 season is laid, and it starts with who's getting cut, who has to restructure, what's the market going to be for these players in free agency, what's the market going to be for that? Are we agreeing to any trades in principle that we might not officially consummate until March when the league year begins? It's an incredibly busy time, and it's the perfect segue right into free agency. It's really the winter meetings. It's baseball's winter meetings. People think it's just about the draft. The draft is a small part of everything that goes on in Indianapolis this week.
Yeah, the combine is not just about the drafted players. It's about players who are already in the league. It's about coaches and teams. And Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports kind of talked you through it right there. But I think lately, maybe the top thing that's been in the NFL news cycle has been players who have been released and then players who were franchised. So let's run you through the different tags. You have the franchise tag, which is a mechanism teams can use on players who are set to become unrestricted free agents to keep them on their team on a one-year guaranteed contract. There are two different types of franchise tags. There is the exclusive version of the franchise tag, which means that when you tag this player, he gets his guaranteed salary and he cannot negotiate with any other teams. Then there is the non-exclusive franchise tag, which means you tag this player, and when he signs it, he is guaranteed his one-year contract. But he can negotiate with other teams during free agency. And if he finds another team who wants him, he can sign an offer sheet from that team. And if the team that franchised that player does not match the offer sheet, that player goes to the new team, and the new team sends 2 first-round picks to the former team. So the difference here, and so why wouldn't you just put the exclusive tag on everyone then? The reason is, if you put the exclusive tag on a player, he can't negotiate with other teams, but you're paying that guy the average of the 5 highest salaries at his position for the following season. The non-exclusive tag, you're paying him the same thing, average of the 5 highest salaried players at his position for the previous season. So you're paying him less with the non-exclusive tag, but you're assuming the risk that you might lose that guy. Von Miller was the first player to receive the exclusive version of the tag since the Saints slapped it on Drew Brees in 2012. So Von Miller will be a Denver Bronco in 2016. He cannot negotiate with other teams, and he will be paid the average of the 5 highest paid outside linebackers in 2016. So the Broncos technically don't know what they're going to be paying Von Miller. They have to wait until restricted free agency is over and then the five highest contracts for outside linebackers will be averaged together as a percentage of the salary cap. That's what Von Miller will get. But there were eight players who were slapped with the regular franchise tag. They were Josh Norman of Carolina, Muhammad Wilkerson of the Jets, Alshon Jeffrey of Chicago, Eric Berry of the Chiefs, Cordy Glenn of the Bills, Kirk Cousins of the Redskins, Trumaine Johnson of the Los Angeles Rams, and Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker. So all of those guys unlikely to be signed by other teams, and if they are, those teams will have to give up two first-round picks. So if you want to give up two first-round picks and sign a guy to a big-money deal, you can have one of those guys. Probably not going to happen. Dolphins defensive end Olivier Vernon was the sole recipient of the transition tag. It's the second year in a row the Dolphins have used the transition tag. The transition tag gives the Dolphins the right to match another team's offer. If they don't, they still don't get any compensation. So basically, when you slap a guy with the transition tag, you're basically saying, we're not going to negotiate your contract. We're going to let another team do it. The other team has to bring their offer sheet to us. If we like it, we're going to sign it and keep you. If we don't like it, we're going to let you go. That's basically the transition tag. A few other NFL nuggets. Peyton Manning, retirement or unretirement, we still don't know. The Eagles extended the contract of Sam Bradford with a two-year deal. Flacco agreed to a new contract with the Ravens, and Tom Brady agreed to an extension with the New England Patriots. A few veterans who were cut. The Bills cut defensive end Mario Williams. The Saints cut Marquise Colston. The Jets cut Antonio Cromartie. The Texans cut Arian Foster. The Falcons cut Roddy White. All of those guys released, and because they are vested veterans, they can sign with a team right now. Everyone else who's scheduled to be a free agent on March 9th, that includes a guy like Chad Greenway, that includes a guy like George Iloka, who a lot of people are writing me about, or Eric Weddle, a lot of people are writing me about him. Those guys cannot sign until free agency begins on March 9th. Speaking of free agency, we will talk more about free agency, possible fits for the Vikings on the Wobcast next week. So we're not going to talk any more about free agency on this edition of the Wobcast. We're kind of wrapping up the combine right now, but we will talk about free agency next week. In the meantime, if the free agent bug is biting you and you need information, go to Vikings.com. Our free agency preview written article series has begun. We're breaking down NFL.com's list of the top 99 free agents and identifying those who might be good fits for the Vikings. So go to Vikings.com and check that out.
All right, we're going to move on from that to a few fan questions that you've gotten over the past week.
Let's do it.
The first one brings in two guys that we've talked about already. You just talked about Chad Greenway.
Yeah.
If he re-signs with the team, it has to be after March 9th. Hayden asks about Chad Greenway. He asks, do you think it would be a good idea to re-sign Chad and then draft Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame? He says we could essentially redshirt Smith and enjoy Chad for another season.
I think it's a cool plan. You know, I don't know all the details on Jalen Smith's injury. And unfortunately for him, it could be a situation where his injury is a degenerative injury now and like he never recuperates and gets. So that's a possibility. So if that's the case, obviously you're not going to take him in the first round. But if it's an injury that doctors believe he can come back from and maybe he can get back up to his level of what he was, I think it's a cool plan because it takes the pressure off of Jalen Smith to hurry back. And he sustained his injury in the Fiesta Bowl, which I don't remember the date, but it was January something.
January 1st.
Okay, January 1st. So, I mean, you know, it's going to take you 8 months minimum to get back from that and probably more. And then you're with a new team in the NFL, so you got to learn the defense and muscle memory and all that. So, I mean, it's very possible that 2016 is indeed a quote-unquote redshirt season for Jalen Smith. In that scenario, if you take him, what a great guy to have for a short period of time to wait for Jalen Smith to get ready, Chad Greenway. I mean, we've seen him playing this defense for 2 years. Coach Zimmer has a lot of admiration for Chad, and Chad feels the same way about Coach Zimmer. Chad has only been with the Vikings during his career, drafted in 2006 in the first round. Would love to see him back for another season if everything works out. That remains to be seen. And hopefully something can, but if something can't, it's a business, and you can certainly understand that that will be an interesting storyline to watch in free agency next week.
The next question from Isis. Do you think that the Vikings can come out of the first round of the draft with Sua Cravens and Miles Jack? Sua Cravens, the sort of linebacker, safety, flex position player from mm-hmm. USC.
Someone's going to have to call the cops if that happens, because we will have stolen two players out of the first round that we should have no business getting. So possible. Why I think it's unlikely. Well, first of all, it won't surprise me if they're both gone by the time we get to 23. But if one of them is there at 20, if they're both there at 23, you take one of them. And then you got to get back into the first round to take the other one. The problem is the Vikings are at the 23rd pick of the second round, which is like 55th overall. So to get from 55 overall up into the first round is going to require a ton of ammo. We have an extra pick, but I believe it's an extra seventh round pick. So that's not going to get it done. So you're essentially going to have to mortgage the middle rounds of this draft, a third and fourth round pick probably, or a second and a fourth, and then dip into the 2017 draft, another mid-round pick, to get back into the first round. Not something Rick Spielman typically does. So I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, it'd be amazing.
All right, and finally, a Twitter submission. Ryan Ortega asks, Ryan Ortega states,
okay,
I think we need to sign George Iloka.
Got it.
He's a versatile safety like Harrison Smith, 25 years old, and would allow us to disguise coverage even better than we already do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Wabi? Yeah. He wants to know what you think.
Well, he's right that Iloka is a versatile safety. I'll take his word for it that he's 25.
I'm not going to check his birth record.
Sounds right. It's right-ish. And I think, yeah, I think the Bengals are very good at disguising coverage, and Iloka is a starting safety, so I would imagine he'd be able to help the Vikings do that as well. He's currently property of the Bengals, so it's a little uncomfortable for us to talk about a player on another team. We shouldn't do that. He becomes a free agent on March 9th if he does not re-sign with the Bengals before then. And in that case, everyone's going to link Iloka to the Vikings, among, I'm sure, several other teams. But the Vikings will be one because Zimmer was the defensive coordinator of the Bengals at a time when George Iloka was developing there. So this is a natural tie, Iloka to the Vikings, because of the Zimmer connection and because the Vikings have a little bit of a revolving door at the other safety spot. So certainly understand the question. Wouldn't surprise me to see it happen. And if it did happen, who are we to question the decision? Mike Zimmer knows George Iloka better than anyone else in the state of Minnesota. And so if Mike Zimmer sees fit to do it, in Zimmer I trust.
That's it.
Lobcast is over?
Yeah.
Wow, that was a lot.
It was. A lot of information. We gathered a lot of information last week at the Combine. That's one of the craziest weeks every year.
It was your first Combine trip as a member of the Vikings Entertainment Network. I mean, you've been to the Combine before, but it was your first trip as a member of our team. Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did a good job, I thought.
Yeah. You have an excuse as a member of a football team's media department to talk to some of the biggest names in football.
Yep.
And we did that a lot.
We did
talked
a lot
to a lot of people about the Vikings and how good they were.
Yeah, it was fun. And, you know, we'll do it again next year. But in the meantime, we have free agency to talk about. We have mock drafts to talk about. Mock Madness 3.0 is up on the website right now. So you can go and take a look at our scan of the internet to see who people are mocking to us. There really is no consensus. There's no consensus on position, on people within the position. Like, it's Taylor Decker, it's Jack Conklin, it's Michael Thomas, it's Josh Doctson, it's Sua Cravens, it's Vaughn, what's the guy from Ohio State?
Vaughn Bell.
Vaughn Bell. Like, there's no consensus at all on it, and so it's a lot of fun. And I'm sure the consensus will start to come together the closer we get to it, but we're still a long ways away. So next week we'll have a ton more to talk about again. We'll maybe do a little bit more free agency and re-signings and all that and get into some more NFL news. But I think for now, we're pretty much finished up. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw. You've listened to a jam-packed edition of the Wobcast. We're going to be back next week with even more, so stay tuned.